Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, as you can hear, you're going to have to do a lot of the talking in this one.
Yeah, man, you sound like crap. What did you do? Did you bring Anthony Davis back with you at least?
Well, the reason my voice sounds like this was because I was outside Julius Randle's apartment.
Were you holding up the say anything? I'm old, so I make these like 80s movies references, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Sorry, yeah. Listeners. Yeah.
I was standing out there outside Julius Randle's, and then I realized, oh wait, they have Anthony Davis. I should probably go and
go focus to his place.
On him. Yeah. 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 So it was a long weekend, longer weekend than I anticipated. Thanks to this, I'm in one of the food capitals of the world, and I get the stomach flu. That's just cruel. It's mean. Man.
That's the bad karma, man, for the hole-in-one stuff from the other week, man. I told you.
Oh, don't make me laugh. I'm so sore.
Jesus Christ, man. Give me something to talk about.
All right, yes.
Not so, have to listen to you.
I got back. I was on the plane right over here, and because we had to reschedule, we were on Spirit, and they charge you for, like, oxygen, so I didn't have Wi-Fi. But over the last, like, hour or so, I was able to get back and figure out what's going on. Turns out Lonzo Ball is still kind of dinged up. Some nobody is saying KD to the Lakers. And then in the third segment, the writers of Basketball, A Love Story were kind enough to send us a copy of the book. And so Pete and I are going to take it way back and talk about how we started to love, came to love the game of basketball. So it's going to be a fun show. This is my flu game. I'm going to get through this thing. Let's start with Lonzo, though. Oh, and you guys know where to find the show. You guys know where to find us. Today's show is brought to you by Ease and Shades. Let's go into the scene. Lonzo is apparently not ready to do 5-on-5 scrimmages, right? That's the news update. And I thought you put this well on Twitter when you said basically that we were told that he was going to be 100% when training camp started. And this now follows a trend of deadlines, for lack of a better term, being pushed back. And so I'll let you expand on that thought.
Yeah. So this in and of itself, it may end up not being a big deal, right? He's already doing one-on-one stuff, which means he's not that far from doing 5-on-5 type stuff. But it just plays on an irritation that I had last year of, like you said, deadlines being missed. And maybe there's something in the communication chain where they're overly optimistic in when guys are going to come back. Also, the way it was communicated was via Rob Pelinka in a press conference, and he was clear to say that he was getting those estimates from Lonzo's team, right? And they can't – there are rules in the NBA in terms of what the teams can say in press conference-type settings about a player and their health and all of that. There are HIPAA issues. So this one's not entirely on the front office. But like you said, in total, man, like he had these injuries where it's like, yeah, they're day to day or he'll be out a week. And it's like Ingram's out 3 or 4 weeks when we think it's a lot less. And this happened a couple of times with Lonzo. And it's just, I don't want to get in trouble trying to speak on things that I don't know enough about. Yeah. I'm not a doctor. I don't have any background in that sort of thing. So it's not for me to say, oh, Marco Nunez is not doing this right or whatever it is.
Yes,
but
that's for sure.
There is a problem when what is being communicated to fans and what ends up happening leaves them disappointed. It seems like a under promise, over deliver type of situation, right? Where if there's any doubt, you say, hey, he's going to be out 3-4 weeks and then he's back next week, everybody's happy. If you say he's out 1 to 2 weeks and he's out 3 to 4, then everyone's pissed off about it as fans, and rightfully so. So that just, Lonzo is probably close if he's doing one-on-one type stuff. And I do worry a little bit about him long-term from a health perspective. I just want to see those deadlines start to get hit. And I just want to play with all the toys. You know what I mean? Like we got all this new team together. I want to see them all in action at once.
It's tough when like the first bit of actual Lakers news is this after such a long time away where you and I spend time going through every player across the roster and Luke Walton twice over, and there was no news. It was such a dry desert that the first thing to come back to is, oh, yeah, Lonzo actually isn't going to be okay for training camp. So I think that's kind of a factor here, too, in some of the reaction. But I want to take it back to the initial injury that Lonzo had that has kind of got the ball rolling. And it was against Dallas, right? He was posting up Dennis Smith Jr. He turns, he pivots, he finishes a layup, he runs back. One of the few layups he finished. I'm back, guys. But he finishes a layup. He's barely limping. There was barely anything to say, to show, like, yes, this is something that he very obviously got hurt on this play. And then he winds up missing 30 games as not a direct result of that play per se, but after that he winds up missing the 30 games. And it gets what always makes me nervous, and it makes everybody nervous in all sports, is those non-contact injuries. Those plays where you can't necessarily hone in on a singular moment that very obviously hurt a guy. And that makes me nervous with this long term.
Yeah, and when you go back to college, he had some ankle issues and was just kind of generally dinged up, and that's been a, you know, kind of consistent theme. Now, some guys, as they get into better shape, you know, and this is something where he is not fully recovered from a surgery, right? So I think it's important to make that distinction from it being an additional injury. Now, there were multiple re-aggravations until they determined, hey, are we going to remove the meniscus or are we going to repair it? If they went the repair route, it would have been about a 6-month timetable. They decided to remove it. Different people have different opinions on how much that impacts long term. I know people who know a lot more about this than I do that have concerns that it makes the knee less stable, and so the, you know, 6 to 10 year prognosis is worse for him than if had he gotten it repaired. But again, that's out of my element.
Well, I'd put it this way: if removing the meniscus didn't have any potential ill results moving
everyone
down the
line, would do it right,
nobody yeah. would do the other thing.
Right, no, that's a good point. Right, yeah.
So like I think that's the concern there. From what I mean Jen uh-huh, is right. a physical therapist, and then there are that we also at Silver Screen and Roll added the guy who does the
Dr. Brar. Yeah, uh-huh. He's great.
And so both of them have basically said that there is a potential for down the line this to kind of come back and bite you in the butt again. So I guess that's the trade-off. The one thing I let's take a quick second here, and we can expand on this stuff a little bit more. We don't have to go too in-depth on the KD thing since it's like a hypothetical of something that nobody's really running with right now. So we're going to take a quick second here, and I want to talk to you guys about Shady Rays. So Shady Rays has been great with us. There was, however, a lapse in communication when it comes to the promo code. We had thought previously that it was BOGO, B-O-G-O, but we're actually changing that to Locked On. I tried the BOGO thing, and a few of you guys, and thank you guys for A, supporting Shady Rays. That's how we keep the lights on out here. And B, reaching out to me to let me know that the promo code wasn't working. We cleared that up. Go to shadyrays.com/lockedon or enter the promo code locked on to get that deal that I was talking about where you buy your first set of sunglasses at full price and every subsequent pair of sunglasses from that purchase that you go after that is 50% off. That's quite the deal. They are tremendous. I took my pair out to New Orleans. Jen took her pair out to New Orleans. We got a couple compliments on them. They were great. So go to shadyrays.com, enter that promo code locked on, and save 50% off of every pair of sunglasses that you buy after your first one. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to keep talking about Lonzo. So, like, the question I keep on coming back to when it comes to Lonzo was, and now, there, like you said, there's just some stuff that we're never going to know about what's been going on here. That's just how that's going to play out. But the one thing that I kind of – the timing of his surgery this summer has to come under some scrutiny here, right?
Yeah.
And now, look, with Russell Westbrook, for example, he goes under the knife recently, but they were able to identify it was because of stiffness that he had, right? Whereas with Lonzo, it's hard for me to not feel like Lonzo is involved in potential trade talks. Oh, crap, there he goes. He's going to get hurt. And so, like, the timing of it is such that people are going to speculate about it. It might be unfair to do that. And like I said, there's stuff that we are never going to know about that. But my question is, all right, if you needed surgery, why not just do it earlier in the year? Why not just do it as the summer kicks off? It's not a company time thing with Shaq.
Sure. I don't know that they knew that they needed surgery earlier. Now, that raises other questions, right? It's like, why does this issue that's been lingering for so long, why was it then eventually identified that he needed to have that? I don't know enough about this sort of thing.
And I don't think we ever will.
To point fingers, right? Yeah. That said, like, yeah, it's not something new. It's, you know, he initially tried to get the PRP shot that Kobe would get in Germany and go that route. But yeah, man, it's scary when you start talking about those type of things. That is far and away my biggest concern.
Absolutely.
With Lonzo, like, I'm very high on him as a player. But, you know, if he can't stay on the court, it's a moot point. And I'm hoping he can progress to 5-on-5s within the next week, maybe just miss a couple of the preseason games, get a couple under his belt before the start of the season, because they've got so many new moving parts, and the biggest moving part of all is brand new. And I think it's interesting to see all of the footage of the guys at the facility, veterans too, which is somewhat unusual, but that's something that LeBron's done in previous stops in Miami and in Cleveland. It's like, hey, you know, I always talk about the planets revolving around LeBron. That takes some groundwork on the front end. And the Western Conference is so competitive that they can't afford to who knows? They can dig themselves out of a hole, but they can very much dig themselves into a hole in the first month if they're still figuring out how to play with each other.
The opening of the season is freaking brutal. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I remember that was the first thing that struck me in looking at the schedule. Was that the first like 22 games or so are almost all against tougher opponents. So that's something to be a little concerned about. You know, you don't want to start in a hole in this Western Conference. The other thing too is the Lakers are kind of the gamble that we have talked a lot about organizationally is that the Lakers are kind of gambling on their young guys to be able to show that they belong around LeBron, that they can compete with LeBron. And if they are able to do that, they can then use all of their cap space to go out and get a guy, right? But if those kids aren't ready for that, that kind of throws off their math a little bit. And we only have a year of that to find out because they have to make that decision on a free agent next season.
Yeah. I think this is a tryout year for a lot of guys. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be a year that they overlook, but we're going to find out a lot about who can play with LeBron and who can't. And even if they do make a run at that second max guy, they're going to do that anyway, regardless of what the kids look like.
But it's what they do around it.
Right, exactly. Like if they go after, say, Kevin Durant, who we'll talk about in a moment, and do they keep the kids alongside, or do they try to package a couple of them for a third, more established type of guy, or have the kids shown that they can do that? And so it's great to have that type of flexibility, and it would be great to have that problem, quote unquote, of signing a second max guy to go with LeBron and then figuring out how to fill out the rest of the roster, right? Like we can all dream and we're halfway there. But
I'm sure people in Minnesota right now are like, I hate all of you.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's like that with this right now, man. And we're only going to get worse. It's going to be great. So yeah, man, these are important steps. And in the Western Conference, every, you know, 2-3 week injury is going to be amplified this year because it's so damn good. And yeah, Lonzo needs to be back and figuring out how to play with LeBron and company, just like everybody else, as soon as possible.
Yep. And look, I mean, you put it in a way that I think it's kind of a double entendre, right? Where we're going to find out who can or cannot play with LeBron. And this might quite literally be that Lonzo cannot stay healthy enough to be able to play with LeBron. And that would be a bummer to find out. Not to say that that's where this is heading. I don't think we need to – and that's like I'm saying. That's why people, I would say, probably overreacted to this. And it's a good thing I was stuck on an airplane.
And I have too. Like, I am just – I am irritated because it just hits on a nerve from last season. Like, I know
–
I know, right. And they've got another good point guard in Rondo that – and who knows if how this impacts starting or not. And maybe Lonzo's doing 5-on-5 and it's in a week. I can feel how irritated I am by it, and I know it's not entirely rational, but I just want to stop seeing these deadlines being missed, and I just want to see the team play together, man. So I know I'm overreacting, but it doesn't come from nowhere.
Yeah. All right, we have a couple minutes here before we throw it to the third segment to talk about Kevin Durant. I don't want to lend this too much credence because, frankly, The guy who broke this was the one who said that Kobe was coming out of retirement to play in the big three. So I'm not, you know, maybe he'll hit some down the line, but so far that's a pretty big swing and miss. I want to, though, talk about Kevin Durant. And it's kind of turned into a conversation of Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, who fits better here? And personally, I don't think it's not that complicated. I think Kevin Durant would be just astronomically great playing alongside LeBron. I like Kawhi Leonard. I think there's a ton to like there about him. But if I had to choose between the two, I'd go Kevin Durant 7 days out of seven and twice on Sunday.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's all we got to say. All right. We're going to take a quick second here. I want to talk to you guys about Ease. Again, they have been incredible in their support this offseason. They have, to a large extent, gotten us through this offseason. So I'm going to send you, again, if you're 21 or older, to ease.co/lockedon to get $20 off your first purchase there. That's ease.co/lockedon or in the iTunes app, Ease, and then EAZE is where you find it in the app. And enter the promo code LOCKEDON to get $20 off your first purchase. They put you in touch with any number of brands and retailers that have any of the products that you might be looking for. If you're looking recreational use, they got that for you. If you're looking to improve your life pain-wise, anxiety-wise, sleep-wise, personally, that's what I've used it for myself. So that's ease.co/lockedon, and it's like Uber Eats or Postmates for cannabis. It's a great service. They've been incredible with us, so let's continue to support them. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, let's have a little bit of fun and talk about why we love this game and how that came to be. Thanks to this book by Jackie McMullen, Rafe Bartholomew, and Dan Cloris. It's called Basketball, A Love Story. So we'll get to that here in a second. All right, so you and I ride or die with Doris Burke, right?
Yes.
So she writes, "The layers and details and vivid storytelling in Basketball, A Love Story makes this a must read. I couldn't put this book down." That's from Doris Burke. If you're not going to take my or Pete's word for this, you got to take Doris's, because that's like a religious law when you're in and around the game of basketball. But Pete, how did it come about? Where did your love of basketball start? How did you stick with that love of basketball?
So my two earliest memories are one of meeting Kareem on a plane, mm-hmm. and when I was about 3 years old.
Was he
and
the pilot?
He was not the pilot, but I did call him Roger, and I had a toy plane myself. And I remember it was for some reason. We're talking 1983 or so. I was born in 80, and so I'm 3 years old, and for some reason the Lakers had to fly back from Golden State on a commercial flight. There was something up with their plane, and they ended up on the same flight as us. And so my mom ends up walking up, and I'll always and again, this is my first memory, is seeing Kareem in a plane for regular people, like folded in on himself in a chair, and being very nice and humoring me as I talked about how awesome my toy plane was and calling him Roger. And there's no way I would have seen Airplane by that time, the movie, which is where that comes from. But mm-hmm. and then and my grandma a couple years later taught me like the basics of basketball, and then and she died not long after that, so maybe there's some connection mm-hmm. to that when I was 5 years old. And then And as I've said before, my dad worked for Prime Ticket, or not for Prime Ticket, the station before Prime Ticket for the OGs listening was called On TV, mm-hmm. and they carried the games, and my dad was one of the guys who would work in the truck, as they would carry the games at the Forum.
And at that time, it was a simulcast.
Right, exactly. And him and Kareem became friends, separate of my introduction to him on the plane and all that, but because they went to rival high schools at the same time. So it's always been something that I don't have any memory of not being a huge basketball fan. It was always ironic too, because I was the shortest or close to shortest guy in the class, and that was my thing though, was to play ball. Occasionally we'd break for football during right times of the season, but for me it was always basketball. Like I don't remember not being completely obsessed with it.
Yeah, my memories of basketball go way beyond my own memory. I mean, my parents have video of me playing on a Fisher Price basket, and that's how they found out I was left-handed, for one thing. And it's funny, my dad tells this story where he went to work. And my dad is a nut when it comes to everything. He's an engineer, so like their brains, when they latch onto something, that's what they're focused on. And at that time, he was really focused on basketball and sports in general, and I'm his firstborn son, so he wants to coach me up and do all these things. And he actually went. I had like just started walking. Maybe I was really young, but I remember he tells me that he went into work and he was bragging to the guys but back then it was Rockwell. about my hand placement on the basketball, that it was like perfect. I had good backspin apparently on my shot. So like that's well beyond when I can actually remember it. My other first memory when it comes to basketball was like just when we were kids, and not to sound like all too back in my day kind of thing. When we were kids, we played all the sports. Like yeah. I played competitively in basketball and soccer mm-hmm. and volleyball and baseball. The only one my mom wouldn't let me play football, so that was the only one that I didn't really do. But I always remembered I would be playing those other sports, and I was pretty good at them. I was all right, but I always like there was nothing quite like basketball season.
It's funny. My best sport by far was baseball. Mm-hmm. I was, made little league all-star teams and all that stuff. But it never compared for me the way that it did with basketball.
Yeah, basketball just gave a certain feeling. I mean, for me, I was a shooter, so there is no better feeling of having that stroke going and having somebody standing in front of you. And this hasn't been the case for like 15 years, but having somebody stand in front of you and be able to look in their eyes and have them know, like, no, you're not guarding me today. That's not happening. And it's just – and, Kobe and LeBron and a lot of the guys that are quoted in this book all say that they just – like the first time they made a jumper, the first time they completed a crossover or the feeling you get anytime you learned a new move – like that's just it. There's just something about basketball, and I think it really lends itself. This is me getting maybe too in depth on this, but I think it lends itself to how creative NBA Twitter is, and how it's just basketball is an art. You watch a football game, and they all run the same routes. Some people run better routes than others. The same throws are taking place. The same blocking and all that stuff. Basketball though, like Zach Randolph and Isaiah Thomas are both incredibly successful in the same sport. And there's something about that that's just really cool and resonates with me. And yeah, when it comes to sticking around the game, I remember I finished in high school and I was thinking about playing at Fullerton. I wound up not, but I had to stick around it. And you did some coaching too. So what was it like when you did all your coaching? It just came naturally. You had to be around the game more.
Yeah, it was something that was my dream. I lucked into I was working a job that I hated, and I went back to school to get a teaching credential with the idea of I want my own program within 5 years. And a series of different events, which I won't bore people with, it ended up working out. I had my own program within 6 weeks, and it was all dumb luck. It was no talent on my part. It was just like
– I don't know. Based on your meteoric rise and this stuff, I'd say it wasn't luck.
This had nothing to do with that. It was like a dude had to quit like coaching, like I met this dude once, 6 months before, at a Clippers game, God help me. And we talked, he was like, hey, you want to be my JB coach? And I was like, I just met you and I'm working a crappy insurance job, so I would love to, but I cannot.
Are we best friends?
Right, exactly. And then like 6 months later, he reached out right as I had gone back to school, and I'd never met the dude before. And he was like, hey, I just wanted to check. And I was like, yeah, I actually can do that. And then he had to quit like 3 weeks before the season. They were running the triangle offense at a Division IV high school. It was a mess. And but I loved it, man. And it was, yeah, it just fell into my lap. And it was, you know, one of the greatest times of my life. And yeah, it's always been an inextricable part of my life, no matter what I'm doing. It's just, it's so very much in my blood that none of this is work. I mean, it's work, but it's not like, I don't know. It's just, it's who I am. It's not a job. It's just who I am.
Yeah. It's not a game. It's something that, I couldn't imagine my life without. And fortunately, you know, you and I are both blessed enough to be able to do this as a quote unquote job. And I can't think of many other jobs I could have been doing that weren't around the game of basketball that I would head home and be actually like annoyed. Like I remember I'd get sick and be like, ah, man, I can't work today, bum, or whatever. But like I was actually annoyed that like my week was thrown off the week before training camp was thrown off. That, you know, and it's thanks a lot to everybody that have supported both your stuff and my stuff. We're pretty damn blessed, man.
Absolutely.
All right. That'll do it then for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Make you guys check out this. It's Basketball, A Love Story. And Jackie McMullen is a freaking legend. Rafe Bartholomew, Dan Clores. It's great, great stuff. I unfortunately haven't been able to open it up yet because I was traveling all weekend. I'm going to open it up tonight. And the writers of the book were nice enough to send us an extra copy. So what I'm going to ask for you guys to do now is go on to iTunes, write your basketball love story, and the best one that we get in will get a copy of the book that I'll send to you guys that. And then we'll also read a couple more on the show. Also continue with your iTunes questions. They've been a little light lately, so you know we need those to be able to take care of those Monday shows. But beyond that, I'm glad to be back. We're days away, man. We're right effing there. We're right effing there. Let's freaking get it. I can't wait, man.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm be there at media day bright and early. I'll you know make sure to get there early and you know just in case there's any accidents on the freeway or anything. It's like it's Christmas. That's my Christmas. So.
Rocking a purple shirt.
Oh, always.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
I actually got a gold iPhone. So last year media day was my first media day, and I took like these awful Flintstone pictures that Damon and everybody else made fun of me about. So I promised my girlfriend if the Lakers signed LeBron that I'd upgrade, and I just got this iPhone 8 Plus that I'm still figuring out how to use, and it's gold, and it's got a purple case on it, and nice. I look forward to annoying anyone who is not down with the whole purple shirt thing. I'm going to be going all out. I'm going to get ruffles on a shirt this year, you know, and go full on Prince.
I love it. I effing love it. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Hopefully I sound better tomorrow. Thanks for listening to me struggle through this one. Thanks, Pete, for carrying me on this one. We have a fun couple shows to send us into next week, but we're almost effing there, guys. Let's get it. Have a great rest of your day.